Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning and afternoon. I am here with, we're just going to talk about a lot of stuff. I am here with my friend Stephanie Dukes. Stephanie, what's up?
Good morning, Lady G. How are you doing? Now say hello to your listening audience. Having a wonderful time today.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. It's, you know, it's Florida, so it's nice. A little bit, you know, toasty, but that's all right because we got swimming pools and beaches and all kinds of ways to just, you know, air conditioner, all kind of ways to beat the heat and just keep going.
Yeah, let's not forget about them fine bodies on the beach now.
Goodness. You always got to take it there. But anyway.
Hey, gotta stay true to me now.
I know. I just, you know, I've gotta, you know, I gotta get my own body fine tuned before I can start, you know, looking at others. I gotta have something to deliver if I'm going to demand.
All right, bring it to the table now. All right. I'll see you at the gym.
There this morning, been there. All right.
Oh, yes. You are faithful about that. You are faithful.
Not as much as I should be, but I'm working on it. I'm better than I used to be. I'm better than I was when I was younger. Because you know, when you get older, you kind of recognize what you got to, you know, take care of. But, you know, because I'm not a gym person. But anyway, we're going to get started. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to acknowledge first the passing of two-time presidential candidate Ross Perot, who passed today at age 89. Ross was a contender. You know, he was a businessman. He sold a company that he founded to General Motors for $2.5 billion, and then he ran one of the most successful third-party presidential campaigns in U.S. history back in 1992, got about 19% of the vote, according to this article, and finished third behind Bill Clinton and incumbent President George H.W. Bush. And,
that's right.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, it was the first time that I recognized it, you know, kind of a slap in the face almost, as like, hey, you don't have to be the two dominant parties that are out there in order to you know, make a name for yourself, to get votes, to, you know, I mean, and he could have easily swung the vote by just going to one of the other candidates and say, hey, you know, the outcome could have been very different. He could have said, I got these votes. I got this swing. What do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to help you or – no, and I mean, we speculate, but we don't know for sure what would have happened if he had not been in the race. So,
yeah. Yes, you know, Ross Perot did give a lot of hope to those of us who have new ideas, new inspiration, that you don't have to fit in the box. You can be outside of the box and be effective, effectuate change, and speak your own mind. You don't have to speak the mind of the party. And that's kind of what independent is all about. So I'm glad the third party is known as the independent parties.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other things he did and that we saw with the president, our current president, is they kind of showed that you have to have money to, because he was a billionaire. He funded, I'm not quite sure how much of his own funds did he use to run his race.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really start and decide that you want to embrace that philosophy, then when you get to the business side of that coin, you have to look at how much money. How much of his own money did he put into it? And then the thing about now today, we can take Ross Perot's model and put
mm-hmm.
it with President Obama's model, where,
mm-hmm.
okay, I don't have to be a billionaire to win. I can go to the grassroots, effectuate change, build up support, and win by getting a lot of $5, $10, $25 votes. And if we put those two models together, you know, the man that we know as the underdog could really be the winner in this thing.
Yeah, yeah. I
mm-hmm.
actually think that Bernie Sanders probably took a page from Ross
mm-hmm.
Perot in terms
mm-hmm.
of the influence and impact that he's made on
mm-hmm.
the presidential race.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Bernie runs really almost an independent program under the Democratic flag. So with his ideals, they don't quite line up with the mainstream.
Right.
You know, that's what we had a lot of fight. Well, I won't call it a fight. That's what we had a lot of negotiation about in the National Democratic Party at the last convention. To set those, what was the platform of the party going to look like? And, you know, Bernie brought it to the table. He had enough. Just like you said, Ross Perot could have said, hey, I have these votes. Let's negotiate. And essentially that is what Bernie did. He said, you want these votes? I want that platform to include some of my ideas, things that the people want in the platform. So that, you're absolutely head on with that, Lady G.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because like I said, there's so much stuff out there. There's something else I meant to send you and I didn't. But there was this article that caught my attention yesterday. I get, I don't know how I got on their list, and I'm glad I did. There's a site called Blavity, I guess it is, or Blavity.com. It has a lot of the news about, you know, African Americans that you don't hear about in mainstream a lot. And there's about this boy, and I think I might have mentioned it with someone else, Kerryon Washington. He was a 17-year-old that applied for a summer job at Six Flags in Texas, and he didn't get the job, but there's someone that heard about his story, and
mm-hmm.
Now he's a model. There's a Corey Caster, who's the head of development for IMG Models, saw his Instagram story, and you know, and there's
and
a picture of him
and
everything.
Lady?
Yeah, it's on my Geez Power Hour Facebook page. What's that?
Okay, I was about to ask. Okay, I got it. I have it.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, and IMG represents Chrissy Teigen and Kate Moss and all that, too. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know. And we kind of got into this a little bit when we were talking about the law that got passed
mm-hmm.
In California about no discrimination against hairstyles and stuff like that. I bet I know I was talking to Candace about that yesterday. about the discrimination hairstyle. So I just wanted to give him a shout out, but you know, because that, you know, it's a 17-year-old kid. You know, they're all trying out hairstyle, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. But whether or not he was trying it out or not, it should have been. Is it clean? Is his hair clean? Is he well kept in general? And is he doing a good job? But you didn't even give this guy an opportunity, but he got a better opportunity. So I just wanted to, Kieran,
you know,
Washington, I wanted to shout him out, say congratulations to you.
You know, Lady G, the hairstyle thing is really deep. It's very
mm-hmm.
deep. And I say that personally myself. I can remember in being in school at the University of South Florida, and
mm-hmm.
they had interviews of big companies. You remember in the UC we had a career center.
Right.
I signed up. Dean Stiff had talked to me and told me about the there were going to be some recruiters on campus and helped me arrange an interview time with Busch Gardens. And Busch Gardens, I landed the job. Matter of fact, I was the first Black to be hired by Busch Gardens to be on there as a spill operator. And what a spill operator was, you know, the trams that go through the park?
Right.
Okay, and the person that stood on the back and, you know, tell you about all the animals in the park.
Right.
That's what I was trained for. Well,
okay.
I had braids in my hair for the summer, and I showed up for work with braids because I'm thinking it's an African continent, look like an African, right? That was the worst thing I could have done.
Mm.
They made me take my braids out of my hair. Well, they didn't make me. They gave me an ultimatum. No one makes you do anything. You're given an ultimatum. And my ultimatum was come to work the next day without the braids or don't come to work.
Wow.
That was the ultimatum. So, of course, I took my braids out, and I worked for a couple more days. And then I resigned.
Because
I felt I was not being true to me. Then I realized in corporate America, I don't know if you've seen my hair now. My hair is kind of doing the natural thing where the
mm-hmm.
kids take the brush and kind of make the lock curls.
Mm-hmm.
In the day, we would call that nappy head. Like, girl, what you doing with that nappy head?
Yep.
But it's the style. But, Lady G, I realize that when I go to a corporate meeting, I cannot go with my hair like that. And I really forget sometimes what my hair is looking like when I'm talking to someone, because I'm talking from my brain, from what I can do, my knowledge base.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, well, why are they looking at me like that? And then your hair isn't straight. You know, you got the natural going on, and they don't hear what you're saying.
But, you know, the thing about it is, I was talking to someone in a class recently about there's a debate that goes on amongst the realtor community in terms of when you have your business cards, whether or not to put your picture on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I posed the question. I kind of knew what my answer would be, but I posed the question to the instructor. He looked at me. He's like, all right. He's like, you know, I teach fair housing, right? So you know, I don't even know why you asked me this question. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
And this is a white guy. You know, he's really good, and you know, instructor and everything. And he was like, I always say you put your picture on there. And he said, because I was like, you know, we were talking about different audiences that you deal with,
mm-hmm.
or different countries
mm-hmm.
that you deal with. Do you have
mm-hmm.
a separate business card for one sector
mm-hmm.
versus another sector?
You do.
Don't. No, you don't.
You do.
No,
okay.
you don't.
Give
okay,
me
hold
your
up, hold up. This is my story.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me, lady. Come on.
You don't. You don't. Because, number one, and we have Fair Housing Acts and you know, all these Equal Opportunity Acts and all this kind of stuff. We take core law. We take a code of ethics. We have to abide by those, or we get, or we can lose our license. We are not supposed to treat any one customer any differently than the other customer. So when I bring you my business card, or I send you my business card, or I send you a letter, or however, you know, or my website, or however way I am corresponding with you, this is me. This is what you get. This is who you get. And the thing is, the thing that he said is, think about it. Do you really want that customer if they don't want to deal with you because of what you look like?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you, let's say you send them the information and they don't see you, and then you introduce yourself, hi, I want to list your house. Oh, because there's some people out there, and I've heard stories. There's some people out there that will tell you, I don't want you showing my house to such a type of people because we're trying to, you know, protect the integrity of the neighborhood. I'm using those
mm-hmm.
terms. But, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
basically what it boils down to. So
mm-hmm.
Do you want to get the business or at least get the introduction of someone and then you're met with problems all along the way? I mean, even to the point that, I mean, I know this sounds extreme, but what if, you know, in the end, they sue you because they say you did not represent them fairly. You did not do a good job for them. You didn't get them the money that they wanted for their house. And you're going to have a hard time proving that it's discrimination. You know, I mean, you could think it, you could say it, but you've got to prove that. But, you know, if they didn't get the house, if they didn't get the price that they wanted for their house, and you were the realtor, hey, you know, that you might end up in some problem with that. And so, you know, I mean, and he said exactly what I was thinking. Is like, no, I don't want to deal with someone because this is where I have to rely on my faith, because my faith says that God is going to supply all of my needs according to his riches. So, therefore, if that's a customer that does not want to deal with me because of who I am, because of who God made me to be, God bless you. That's fine. I'm going to be okay. So, and that's my story.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Now let me give you my story.
Okay.
I agree with what you say about being true to you, because I was true to myself when I decided, okay, this job is not for me. Although I was honored to be one of the first black to be in that position. I don't know, because my resignation, whether I lost that title or not. But this is kind of how I feel about the business card thing. The business card is marketing. We
mm-hmm.
have to create our brand. What is your brand? That
mm-hmm.
yes, there is a standard business card that should work all around all platforms. But just as when I speak, I prepare for my audience. I cannot deliver the same speech to an audience, let's say a full African-American audience that I know it may be of rural area, maybe college and junior college degrees, versus a white neighborhood talking about the same subject, okay, that let's say they're highly Christian, Southern Christians, okay? I have to prepare for my audience. So that's what the business card does. The business card prepares you for your audience. That's your brand. That's marketing. That has nothing to do, on my viewpoint now, it has nothing to do with now my ability and skill. Well, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't have something to do with my ability and skill. My ability and skill to know how to market to get you in front of me. Now that I have you in front of me, now I have to use my skill and my talent. You may walk away from me once you see who I am, okay, and then say, nah, we don't want you because you're prejudiced. But you may come in prejudiced and walk out convinced that, you know what, we're going to give her a chance. The door is open. Once you get your foot in the door, it is what you do once you get in that makes the difference. You tell me what you want. Let me use your example of being a realtor, which I am not. Then you tell me who you want to market your house to. If you tell me you don't want a certain class of people in your house, I may decide then I don't want the contract. Because that's not who I am. Like you say, we take an oath not to discriminate, to give our best service. So I don't want that contract. I'm going to walk away then. But I did get my foot in the door. Now I know who you are. Okay. Now I know who you associate with. And now I know with marketing, I don't want to market to that audience. Okay. Now I know to go back and use my marketing dollars and my budget elsewhere. But that's kind of how I feel with that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As a realtor, whether you are black, white, Asian, Hispanic, or Latina or Latino, because my understanding is that is actually more preferred by a lot of than Hispanic. Hispanic is an American term. Okay. I don't care who you are, because the real estate market is the real estate market is the real estate market. It's up to me to come to you with the knowledge I bring that's going to help you buy or sell that piece of property. So, and if you decide because of a picture that you're not going to benefit from the wealth of knowledge that I have, that's going to be to your detriment and not to mine. That's just the way it is. You know, and so because I know, I mean, when you get me, you get someone that is constantly in classes, that is constantly reading, that is constantly driving around neighborhoods to find and won't know everything, but will go to the limits to try to find you the information that I think that you need to know.
Bingo.
Okay. Because I'm one person. I don't know everything, but I know people. You know, so and the thing is about it is that I can't. Real estate is also very time sensitive, so I can't waste time on someone that has petty hang-ups. And wants me to, and is looking for someone to help them, you know. This is what I bring to the table, and I'm on. And most people tell you, you can call me any time of day. And I may be in bed. I might get a gal out of bed so I don't disturb my husband. And I'll talk to you, and if I can't take care of it that night, I'm going to take care of it as soon as I can in the morning, as whatever the parameters allow me to do. Okay, but if you my card comes with my picture, and the main information on that card that you need to know about is not my picture, but how to contact me. There's my name, there's my email, there's my mailing address, there's my phone number or phone numbers, and that's what you have. You do with that what you will. But when you decide you decide to have me assist you to purchase or sell your property, you are getting all that I can bring to the table.
And bringing it to the table brings to mind to me when you said, I have faith. I always think about Queen Esther in the book of Esther, where she prepares. She prepares to go before the king. She goes through this elaborate work. And I think that's how our business card should be. When I was getting ready, considering running for the State House of Representatives, one of the things I did was contact me a makeup artist, contact me a hairstylist, and a color coordinator. so that when I put my picture on posters, business cards, the business cards I had made up for when I was president of the South Lake Democratic Club, I made sure it was the best professional picture, that I had the best people that I put. You know how you say, you get all of me. You get the best of me. And you've got to know it's the best of me when you look at me. That is how we present ourselves. So, you know, I'm not against, totally against it, and I agree with what you say. But when we make that, we got to realize that picture is your brand. Whatever symbol you put on there, that's your brand. If your face is your brand, make your face the best it can be. So I agree with you. We're there. Branding is everything. Get them in the door and then make the sale. Because it's the way, you know how we stage houses? You know, yeah. It's all about staging. Are you there, Lady G?
Yeah, I'm here. And because I was going to say, the thing that bothers me when I was listening to your story, because I was going back to one of my own stories around, probably around the same time you were going through your stuff at Busch Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shame. It is sad that we did not have enough knowledge, enough courage, insight, foresight, bunch of other stuff to
mm-hmm.
walk and then go get an attorney, a civil rights attorney. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's some out there probably would have taken the case pro bono.
Yes. Because that was very hurtful to me. I remember my biological father, I was staying with him when that happened. And I remember going to his house that afternoon and literally crying.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I just let it go and just say, you know what? I'm not going to work there because I don't want to work under those conditions. So,
you know what? I would have gone through because the thing that we forget in going mm-hmm. forward is that the reason we can go forward because we've been able to climb on the backs of some other
mm-hmm.
people, and we've kind of got to bend our back a little bit for the people that are to come, and we forget about that sometimes. So it
mm-hmm.
would have been worth it just to go through the process with an attorney and everything, fight and win, and then say bye bye.
Need everybody to go to school.
I know, but see, that's where, okay, this is where that faith comes in that I was telling you about. And I will tell you about a situation that I had, and God bless my mom, because she helped me get through it.
Yeah.
And there was a job, and I had all kinds of things going, and having to train someone else for the job that I was doing and getting demoted and, like, being the secretary to the secretary type of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, so, I mean, I did all types of things, you know. I was working my butt off. And then I think also, too, that one of the problems was there was someone that was thinking that I should have been happy where I was, and I was trying to learn and grow and try to, you know, move up just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Like everyone else. Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, when you
my mom told me, because I'd gone through some stuff. She's like, go on vacation. And I'm like, okay. So I took all my vacation days, came back, you know, trying to have a fresh perspective. And then day one, it was just like all of the mess didn't miss a beat. And so she told me, she's like, sometimes,
mm-hmm.
You have to walk out on blind faith. And I said,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
She's like, sometimes you have to walk out on blind faith. And I'm saying to myself, I know this woman is not telling me to quit my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, so, you know, I said, okay, you know, but she's right. And, you know, if I say I believe in God, I've got to at least take the step. Well, gave 2.5 weeks notice and ended up, by the time the Friday that I was getting ready to leave that particular job, I had another one lined up to walk into that was more of what I was trying to do by that Monday. Didn't miss a beat. Didn't miss a beat and got a better position, closer in terms of where I live, more pay than what I was making, and more aligned than what I wanted with what I wanted to do. God set that up. And if I didn't let him, if I still tried to cling to that job because I needed the money and I had no idea what was going to happen, but if had I still been trying. So sometimes we have to just let him do his work and, you know, and do the best we can, but let him do his work and stop trying to do his work for him.
And that's not sometimes, Lady G. We must get in the practice of doing that all the time.
Amen.
That we proceed, you proceed on blind faith, and there's a process to that. And I'm not trying to get all religious on us now. But
I don't care.
The process is we must pray first. We fast and pray. And then when we pray, we have talked. Then we have to know that when we've talked to God and poured out our heart and soul to him and came to him the right way, then we there's a period of time that then we must listen.
Listen.
Listen for him to talk to us. It may be immediately. It may be through someone like your mom. And it may be directly where he lays the word in your heart. And you know without a doubt that this is what I am supposed to do and walk and move in that. And it's when we don't follow the process that I found that I find myself in troubled water, that I then have to pray or drown, you know. So I agree with you, walking out on blind faith and knowing what our goal is. You know, during the 80s, during that time, we had, remember we had the McDuffie riot here in Tampa?
You have to refresh my memory about that.
Yes, it was the Miami motorcyclist that was killed. I believe it was behind, with the policeman. He was riding the bicycle.
The
altercation occurred, and they moved the trial to Miami, I mean, from Miami to Tampa. And when the verdict came in, there was rioting going on. And during that time period, you know, my goal when I left home was to obtain a degree that I could take care of myself. I asked God for two things when I came to school. That was to be able to obtain my degree and obtain a job where I can live in an air-conditioned house and have a washer and dryer in my house. And didn't have to go outside and hang in my room. That's all I asked God for, okay? So during that time after the riots and there was so much going on, so much hatred, when that happened, all I could see was what my goal was. And obtaining my goal, I needed money to pay my tuition for the next semesters. You know, my parents supported me. I, you know, had scholarships. But, you know, I was in the sorority. I did things. I didn't think it was fair to ask my parents for my extracurricular money. Because they sent me to school to get an academic degree. They could care less about my social degree, okay?
Right.
Like, nah, we gave you that before you left home. So if you want to enrich that, you enrich that on your own, sister girl. So that was why, you know, what I had to work for. But I do agree with you. In hindsight, had I listened or went to, you know, I talk about him all the time because I hold him in high esteem. Carl, what was Carl's last name that I told you this, the judge now in Miami?
I don't remember. I'll have to look it up.
Oh, Lord. But Carl, you know who I'm talking about. Had
I
come
know him
back
as well as
to
you
the
did,
camp,
I think. Okay.
Really? Girl,
really?
He knew you.
Okay. Anyway,
Okay. But anyway, long story short, that's why we have support systems that we have built now. That in hindsight, yes, I should have returned back to campus, went to the Black Student Union, which I was a member of.
Yeah.
And, you know, delivered that message back to Carl and Ken. Remember Ken Atkins?
Yeah.
Those
and Abdul.
Were the ones who, Abdul, you know, mm-hmm. and God, we would have had a riot and my parents probably would have said, when are you getting that degree? But, you know, that would have been a whole nother probably turn in my life. But mm-hmm. now, would I stand up and tell anyone if you're discriminated, fight back? Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we,
and you know
we
what?
Get caught up in our own mess a lot. And that's understandable. But sometimes
mm-hmm.
we've got to also look about who's coming next and
mm-hmm.
and how we're going to deal with who's coming next. So
yes, because this in today's age, there is no reason with racial sensitive that this son, and I call him his son because, you know, he's young and beautiful child.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that our racial, his locks look wonderful, his hair looks clean. There's
mm-hmm.
no way that we should be over and understand racial cultures. But unfortunately, we don't. And it is still something we have to teach our young children, that when that police see you, he sees your hair before he sees your brain and anything you're about. He sees
mm-hmm.
how you're dressed, and he's going to treat you like that. You know, as we talk about dress to impress, when that
mm-hmm.
law officer stops you for that tail light, for that expired tag that your parents just forgot to put the tag on there and said, take the other car, you know, your dress and how you interact with law enforcement makes a difference. So I'm really
mm-hmm.
sad to see that almost 30 years later, this is
yeah.
still, hairstyle is still an issue.
It is
the world we live in.
It just took me back to the story not too long ago about the young guy that was wrestling who
mm-hmm.
they made him cut his locks. You remember that?
Yes.
So when I saw that, I heard that, it took me right back to that, and it just made me say it all over again, you know, about that. So
for him to compete, and see, and again, he did that because that was his dream. His dream was to win that competition, and it was high school. It was a high school wrestler in New Jersey. He was forced
right.
to cut his locks.
Right.
Still targeted the lawyer. And then his parents and them did get a lawyer here. I'm reading the January 10th article by NBCnews.com, which they had a video of him. But he did it. He went over to the corner and had his locks cut.
Right.
So that he could achieve his dream. But they did get a lawyer after that. So
this is the thing. He won. But the thing about it
mm-hmm.
is that victory got overshadowed by someone
mm-hmm.
else's prejudice because
mm-hmm.
the
yes.
person that made him go do it was someone that was late, that came up at the last minute after he had already been approved to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
you know, so it ended up and will always, in his memory, not be about winning the match,
mm-mm.
but the toll
mm-mm.
that it took in order for him to do it, not just
yeah.
the training to win the match, but the fact
mm-hmm.
that he had to lose a part of his identity to do it.
Yes. Yes,
so,
and it was the referee who made that call.
Yeah,
and
like I said, he was late.
It was abuse of power and racism. The young man's name was Andrew Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That of in New Jersey, It was interesting. I'm trying to find out what, how did that, or are we still in? Because that happened the beginning. That happened in December, December 19th of 2018, and this article was written in January. It'll be interesting to find out what's the, you know, how did that come out? What ruling has been established about culture? You know what, Gretchen? I mean, Lady G. That's almost like telling a Muslim about their hair dress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You want me to cut what is part of my culture identity, but you want me to cut my hair, but you will not touch, what is that called, a burma that the ladies wear, the Muslim ladies wear?
I think it's a burqa.
Burqa. Okay. You wouldn't dare do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to know you're going to be sued. So that may take a lot of lawsuits for them to finally understand that my hair is part of my identity, my culture. And, you know, I'm looking at this picture here where the coach came over and actually cut that child's hair doing that
match. Yes, I saw it.
It reminds me of, was it Solomon who had the power in his hair? No, it's
yeah.
Solomon.
Samson.
Mm-hmm. Samson, you know, when he laid his head in Delilah's lap and she cut his hair and took his strength away. Did he actually think cutting that child's hair was going to take his strength away? And I think he thought it would take his strength away by trying to humiliate him.
Mm.
And this young man, I don't know his parents, and I haven't read the story enough. That gave him inner strength and made him so angry that it more he knew how to turn that anger inside out and not sit and holler with the referee. It's kind of like our parents told us, listen, the goal is for you to come back home alive today, okay? Anything that happens out there, we'll deal with it as the adults. You bring whatever happened out there. Bring it back into the home. Tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you was wrong or right, tell the truth. And then as adults, my parents and them then went to the school and dealt with whatever went down. And the teachers learned real early, don't mess with those children there. You know, it was so bad. The teacher would sit me separate from the other children in class, the other black children in class. I got to sit over next to the white children in class. Remember when we first integrated? Because I integrated about second grade.
Mm-hmm.
When they found out my grandmother wasn't having it, my mama and my daddy wasn't having it. So they treated me different, but my parents then had to come to that school and establish it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no. You sat my child at a table and gave her coloring crayons. You know, and that actually happened when I was in the second grade. And I went home and told, took the paper. The teacher was like, well, where's your paper? I say, I don't know. I put my paper in my book bag and took it home to my mama. And I told, I said, they gave us coloring crayons all day, you know. And my mother wasn't having that. And that's what this child looked like he did. He went on, he complied with the rules. Do what they ask you to do, because your goal is to come back home alive.
Yeah.
And that was what they told us when we integrated, okay? And let the adults fight the battle. And I'm really proud of this young man, because I'm looking at this picture of cutting his hair, and oh, my God, I know he wanted to cry like a baby.
Yeah, and then everybody's patting him on up. I'd be like, don't touch me. I would be totally upset. But you know what, Stephanie? You've got to at least.
And daddy. That's what I hear you saying.
Stephanie,
go ahead, ladies.
At least take one break. we haven't done that. So, anyway, I'm here with Stephanie Dukes. We're just talking about whatever. Anyway, this is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm here with Stephanie Dukes, my friend, author of Around Mulberry, and I put on the G's Power Hour Facebook page a picture of Zachary Quiche because he has dreads. He's an ABC News correspondent. If you haven't seen him before, his picture, I just posted this
you
picture.
You just posted that?
yeah. So I'm trying to, I guess I posted it. I will if I didn't. Anyway.
So, let me refresh my page. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, too. Anyway, yeah, seriously. Because
okay.
I think he ended up being one of the ones also to report on the wrestler that lost his dreads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, nobody cutting this guy's dreads for sure. Anyway.
Oh, he is good looking. Ooh.
Yes, he is. So that's why I had to put it up there. Anyway, there's a movie, I was looking, Reggie and I, we get movie passes sometimes, a lot, and sometimes we get a chance to see everything and sometimes we don't, and we're kind of up to a point now, there's nothing else out. We try to go sometimes on Tuesdays because AMC has, and some other places have, well, actually there's two places, AMC has like $5 movies at West Coast Mall, and then Picture Show Altamont, which is like an independent well, it's several of them around the country, but I think there's just one in Central Florida. It's an Altamont. They have like $1 movie. So
uh-huh.
I was looking to see what was playing tonight, and I didn't see anything at either of those. But I came across this movie that I had not heard anything about, and I did not know if you may have heard anything about it. It's called The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
So like, no.
I haven't heard
I
anything
haven't heard
advertised.
About that.
Nothing. And it says it stars Jimmy Fails, Jonathan Majors, Rob Morgan, Tashina Arnold, and Danny Glover. Now, Tashina, he plays in, it's directed by a guy named Joe Talbot. Tashina, doesn't she play in The Neighborhood or something like that? But I know she's been acting on TV. But according, this is based on a true story or something like that, but it's Jimmy Fails dreams of reclaiming the Victorian home for his grandfather built in the heart of San Francisco. Joined on his quest by his best friend, Mont, Jimmy searches for belonging in a rapidly changing city that seems to have left him behind. As he struggles to reconnect with his family and reconstruct the community he longs for, his hopes blind him to the reality of his situation. But anyway, I happen to come across it. The only place that it's playing is at, well, there's a couple places. The one that I know of locally is Regal and Winter Park in Winter Park Village.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I just wanted to share that because I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This is one of those cases where you have a movie with a black cast, predominantly black cast, and a story that is somewhat based on truth, and no one knows about it. So you wonder why these films don't get any attention. So I can't say whether or not I'll be going to see it tonight.
It's all about the marketing budget,
Yeah, that's true, because I think it's an independent film. I was trying to look back. I thought I saw something where
They had it at Sundance, and, you know, when they have stuff at the Sundance Film Festival, a lot of times you may not get a chance to hear anything about it until it gets to maybe the Oscars.
That is so true. That is so true. Okay.
So yeah, I post that ad on the Deep Power Hour Facebook
trailer
page.
Trailer looks really great.
What's that?
Yeah. I'm watching the trailer for it.
Oh, okay.
And the trailer is absolutely wonderful. Matter of fact, it won the Special Juror Award at Sundance and one other award. Let's see what the other award. And Best Director.
Yeah. So if you get a chance to see it, like I said, the only place I found it was over in Winter Park Village, The Last Black Man in San Francisco. So, you know, if I get any other information on it, I will, you know, post it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Yeah, Winter Park Village, well, one just started at 12 o'clock. You can't go. You're listening to my show. Anyway, 3 p.m. 3 p.m. is the next time today. 6:15 is the next time after that, and 9:15 is, you know, the next time after that. So, and there's another.
I think
place
I have a 9:15 date.
Oh, good for you! The next place is the Old Mill Playhouse.
I'm going to see the show.
Huh? Say what?
I'm going to the 9:15 showing.
If you want to meet Stephanie.
And you must be single.
Well, Stephanie, come on. Just be a child of the world and say hello to people. Whatever. Anyway, she'll be at Winter Park Village at 9:15 tonight. There's another place called the Old Mill Playhouse. That's in the Villages. So just wanted to let you all know about that. So I came across that as well. Among other things we were supposed to talk about today, the Affordable Care Act is back in court. So that battle is still going on. Federal Appeals Court in New Orleans is taking up a case in which a lower court judge already ruled that the law is unconstitutional. They said if this if the lower court ruling is upheld, the case Texas versus the United States has the potential to shake the nation's entire health care system to its core. It would immediately affect the estimated 20 million people who get their health coverage through programs created under the law. But they said this ending it would also create chaos in other parts of the health care system that were directly or indirectly changed by the law's many provisions. So, anyway, this is an article I came across from NPR, and is posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page for those of you that want more information on that. So, what you got going on, Steph? Anything new?
Well, no, just enjoying I call it the extended July 4th celebration with family and friends. Just trying to chill out, enjoy the summer. Take in a new, refreshed look for the organizations which I work with that will be starting back up in August, and do this thing we call living life to its fullest. I'm enjoying information about Andrew Gillum, who's, you know, pledged to sign up a million new voters in the state of Florida. And I'm excited about that and working with the group to set goals. Well, what is our number? You know, because if we talk about we want to be part of the process, then be a part of it. Put your words where your feet are and get to moving. So out of that million, we are designing a program to say, okay, what part of that can we contribute to? And not only signing up the million, but also, let's say, we haven't decided exactly what our goal is, but I'm going to say our goal is 500. Out of that 500, we need to make sure we get at least 499 to vote, and that's called voter education. and to do $4.99, and the only reason I say $4.99 and not $500, I am realistically enough, is let's say one of them may fall by the wayside through natural causes, something called death. So I'm going to take out that one that that might happen to, but only one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're still doing our numbers, because in numbers, you know, you have to be use all the things. You sign up 500, what's going to be your fall by the wayside number? So what are we going to do? What areas are we going to target? Because it's not only about signing them up, it's about then going in and talking one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three about the voting process. How do you participate other than just on election day? Why is this important to you? Why did you sign up? What do you want to see and how to make that become reality? So that's kind of what we're working on right now.
Okay.
Just in the talking stages, and when August comes, we want to be prepared. The latter part of August, and really September, when the groups come back together to really do this thing called living life.
All right. So this morning, before I got on the show, I was at a meeting. The mayor is really trying to work with a variety of people from the community to address the affordable housing issue. So there was another affordable housing for all, housing for all, I'm sorry, task force meeting. And they've been having, they had one, I think, on the 6th of April. I went to one before, and that one was pretty crowded. I got there a little late for this one, and there were a lot of empty chairs, and I was kind of disappointed because I'm like, oh, goodness, it's losing its momentum already, and I really hate that because there's a lot of stuff going on with this group. So they'd run out of, I guess, agendas and packets, so I asked, I want to give a shout-out thanks to Doreen Overstreet, who works for Mayor Jerry Deming's office. And she sent me some information, and she said that later today that the meeting would be online or whatever, I guess after they, you know, they get the recording all squared away. So once I find it, I'm going to post it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. But, yes,
okay.
I really want you all to take a look at what efforts are being made. I want you all to ask questions, you know, bring them to the people that you think need to know what your concerns are. I'll try to get all of this information on Juice Power Hour Facebook page later this afternoon. And then I want you, if I know everybody, people work, can't attend meetings, but if you know someone that has a more flexible schedule that can attend these meetings and get information that they can take back to the community so they know what's going on, please make that happen. Please do. I think it's really, really important to support these efforts because affordable housing is in pretty much crisis mode here in Central Florida. And yeah, for sure. You know, the houses, they're not shooting up. They've been creeping up. I mean, and even still, you know, some of them have had to come down on price a little bit, but at the same time, some of them are high to begin with, and the builders are not helping. And I hate to say that. And, you know, I love a lot of the houses. I go out, I drag my husband out to go see, oh, they're building new houses over there. Let's go see what it looks like, you know. And I love to see them, you know, and they're pretty and everything like that. But when they say affordable housing in Central Florida area, and this area is considered to be $250,000 or less. And I know a lot of people that $250,000 isn't even affordable housing. But these new houses are starting, they say, in the mid-200s. But you've got to realize that when they show you one of those mid-200, one of those models, that model is not in the mid-200s. It's not. The
way
model's
over.
Not in the mid-200s. The model, that they're selling you on something other than a base model. Because they know you get in there, you know, you might decide base model's okay, we'll take it. But that's not how they're going to make their money. not more money anyway.
That's it.
And I still say to you, if you decide to, look at a new house, a newly built house,
mm-hmm.
look and see what they have in the house that you can get put in later mm-hmm. at a more affordable rate and get the house with the layout that you want. And I'll talk more about that later, but got to go hear the little boo-hicky. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate your
Thank
time.
Thank you, Lady G. Enjoyed it. More power
right.
to you.
Thank you. Same to you. And thanks for listening, everybody. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a blessed day. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Your mind.